Now, we'll just jump in here with Jonathan Okamura, Professor Emeritus, UH Manoa. He's an expert on race and ethnic studies. Okamura says Asians are, quote, perpetual foreigners in the U.S., and this wave of hate shouldn't be really any kind of surprise. Okamura says it's part of a blame game Asian Americans have gotten tangled in before. Blamed for the Pearl Harbor bombing, blamed for the Detroit auto slowdown, blamed now for the COVID-19 pandemic. But in Hawaii, with 37% of the population identifying as Asian alone, it's different, right?
Oh, yeah, I would think so. The term oftentimes used is a comfort level that one can have being Asian American, and not just Japanese Americans, other Asian American groups. There is violence, though. There is racism. You know, the victims to me, well, obviously, it's Micronesia. There's racial blame pinning directed at them, too, because they're seen as taking public resources that they don't deserve, such as public housing or, mistakenly, welfare benefits, which they haven't been entitled to since 1996. But people still believe that they come here in order to get federal welfare benefits. So you find terms like leeches, cockroaches, and pigeon directed against Micronesians because they're seen as unfairly using public resources, including public housing. So they're victims of racial violence in the schools or joke telling, one of the most extreme forms of racist dehumanizing that we've seen in Hawaii. The jokes are much worse than the kinds of jokes directed against Filipinos, for example. Filipinos wear purple clothes or bright clothes in general, or they speak English with a strong accent. They're lowly employed. At least they're still human beings. Nobody's calling them a cockroach.
What do you think about the type of joke telling and stuff there used to be among? I mean, have you been following what happened on Kauai with the police chief there, squinting his eyes, faking an accent, Japanese accent, and so on?
If he's not fired, he should be suspended. There should be some penalty. He's a public in a position of authority. There are state laws banning that kind of behavior.
The mayor of Kauai said, you know, we all grew up listening to Frank DeLima kid people about stuff like that. Maybe this isn't the kind of talk that's appropriate for someone who's the chief of police.
Oh,
but he sort of hinted that actually this kind of exchange really actually, however, is okay. What do you say about
going
that,
to say that?
That kind of humor of kidding each other about cultural characteristics that existed to such a greater extent before. In a sense, you know, John, we were much more intimate with each other as a whole in those days. Is it verboten now?
It is among people I know and my students because they've had the benefit of taking ethnic studies courses. Look, who's the butt of the jokes? Who's the one being laughed at? Who makes the jokes? Who tells the jokes? The victims? Are Filipinos telling jokes about themselves? Is anyone?
Is it okay if they do? If they say those things?
There are these Filipino comedians who make a living. They're on the continent more so than in Hawaii, but the jokes do not have the same content as the jokes in Hawaii. The jokes on the continent by these Filipino comedians are generally about Filipino family members, you know, my mother, etc. They're not the really demeaning kinds of jokes that people make about Filipinos here. No?
Or how is it so much meaner here? Back in the old days, I mean, you're supposed to laugh, you know, you're supposed to be able to take
right.
it. That just showed that you were comfortable with it.
Yeah.
Right. But,
okay, so for Filipinos, and we're talking going back more than 40 years ago, you're talking about the emergence of what was called Kanaka comedy or ethnic humor in Hawaii in the 70s. This is when for a Filipino, a local Filipino, to laugh at the jokes meant that you were local. You get the joke. You weren't harmed by the joke. You laugh with your friends. Because you wanted to demonstrate to your local friends, non-Filipino, that you weren't an immigrant Filipino. Because there was this very wide division in the Filipino community that emerged in the 70s with the arrival of the post-65 immigrants. And for the local Filipinos, they really wanted to demonstrate that they were local, that they shared this common local culture with their other local friends, Hawaiian, Japanese, Chinese, whatever the case may be. And they were very different from their immigrants who were coming. And the jokes were about immigrants. Faking the accent, for example, making fun about the clothes that they wear, the jobs that they perform. And so the locals were saying, well, the local Filipino would laugh because, hey, that's not about me. Of course I can laugh, just like you guys.
Let's listen to what Okamura is talking about. Here's comedian Frank De Lima, who specializes in what he calls plantation humor, humor rooted in plantation work life, at one time a commonality across the Hawaiian Islands.
The missionaries came, and they saw the land was fertile, and they needed workers. They asked the Hawaiians, but the Hawaiians said, we're busy. So they went overseas, and they brought back the Chinese, the Japanese, the Filipinos, the Portuguese, the Filipinos, the Okinawans, the Filipinos, Filipinos and Filipinos and Filipinos and Filipinos. Do we have any Filipinos here? Filipinos, be proud. Raise your hand. Yeah. Hey. In Waipahu, in old Waipahu, the Manong's little na. In Waipahu, in old Waipahu, the Manong's little na. Ay, Manang ditoy. Ay, Manang ditoy. Hush, my dog.
Comedian Frank De Lima. And he's not the only example of ethnic humor. He's just the classic example, because for years he performed in Waikiki, and Frank De Lima's student enrichment programs took him to schools across the state with the goal of developing positive attitudes and behaviors. Mayor Kawakami saw him on Kauai on one of those visits. Professor Emeritus John Okamura is an expert on race and ethnicity.
I wrote about these jokes in my book, Ethnicity and Inequality in Hawaii. I had to listen to numerous comedians. Every local comedian in Hawaii had a Filipino joke, dog-eating joke, rather.
There were Chinese jokes as well?
Of course. What is it? You know what it is, right?
Stingy. Is that the idea?
A very old stereotype that emerged before World War II.
Yeah. Japanese, it's yes, people move like schools of fish. So maybe it's good for us to laugh at these caricatures of ourselves. Huh?
It has a different impact on different groups of people, depending on how your group is perceived in Hawaii, how subject it is to stereotyping. That's the difference. And also how members of the group are impacted. Filipinos, and I know this from doing research on Filipinos, for more than 40 years. This is my fieldwork in Kalihi. And I know this also from teaching a course on ethnic identity at the university for about 30 years. I had numerous conversations in my office with Filipino students. And one of the dominant themes that comes out with students or with other Filipinos I know is shame about being Filipino.
You're talking about like a built-in prejudice against Filipinos that is so part of the fabric here that we don't really see it.
Well, I don't think non-Filipinos are necessarily aware of this notion of shame that prevails among them, huh? Shame about being Filipino, ashamed of their parents if they were immigrants, for example, spoke with accents or were lowly employed. So this leads to the disavowal of being Filipino. Claims to be local, claims to be Spanish.
Is it something we can have fun with in some? Have you ever heard Sleigh Ride, Frank De Lima's song? It is so that it's just so colorful. How can we be colorful without being pejorative?
Well, because it's not truthful. His Filipino Christmas song, 1994, issued a month after Cayetano became the first Filipino-American governor, not just in Hawaii, in the entire United States. And he still is the only Filipino-American governor. So it's like, what difference does it make if we elect a Filipino-American governor? Filipinos still can be subject to this racist stereotyping, and people will still laugh at them.
Here, an excerpt from that Filipino Christmas song. Frank De Lima sings with a member of a local news team.
That was my favorite Christmas song growing up as a kid.
And he's been singing it all morning since he heard Frank was going
to
be on.
I'm not trying to hurt anybody. This is us, Hawaii. And we'll hear from Mr. De Lima ahead, but Okamura wants to make a finer point.
See, De Lima also, you know, he's supposedly using these Filipino terms. They're just made up terms. He's not saying anything when he spouts them in his Purple Danube song, for example. Dun, 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 dun,
what's
dun,
purple
dun,
and brown? Book, 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 book. What squats on the ground? Book, book.
So he's just kind of having fun with it. No?
Yeah.
Or?
But it's not honest. He's not really using Ilocano words, expressions. That's why it's called mock Filipino.
So someone outside of the culture, it's harder for them to get away with stuff, right? Is there a recipe for approaching another culture with authenticity?
Well, this is what social scientists do. We don't
know. But then, and having like an art form out of it, or comedy, and making comedy out of it.
I think there is. I used to like Booga Booga because it was not spiteful. Huh? It was funny without making fun of people in a demeaning way. I'm thinking especially of Rap Replicants films. He made fun of Japanese. He made fun of Japanese names, other Japanese roll call.
How is that okay? Hey, no, 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 but really, isn't that hilarious, John, really, when he does that Japanese one?
The roll call? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because it's not spiteful.
So he's making fun of that, the names. He's making fun of the way of talking. Somehow you find it not spiteful.
Because Japanese pronounce their names like that too.
Tanimitsu, Mitsuyoshi, Yoshimura, Murakami, Kamikawa, Kawamatsu, Matsutaka, Takahashi, Hashimoto, Motooka, Okafune, Funashige, Shigeyasu, Yasutake, Takamine, Minahira, Hirayama, Yamanaka, Nakashima, Shimakuro, Kurosato, Satagata, Gatagona.
Oh, gosh. So what we're talking about is, do you think race is different in Hawaii than it is on the continent then?
Sure. Mm-hmm. See, my argument is, in Hawaii, we don't talk about race. Yeah? This is the reason why I emphasize ethnicity as the dominant organizing principle, not race.
What do you mean by ethnicity? Cultural characteristics?
Why I say ethnicity is because people in Hawaii think of the different constituent groups as ethnic groups, not races. And they think of the groups as differing in terms of culture, less so phenotype, physical characteristics that define race in the continent. So that's the reason we don't have the term Asian American, which is a racial category, very commonly used on the continent, right?
You're saying that in Hawaii, what we have is Japanese, Chinese, Korean, because we actually can see deeper into the culture and we see the differences between those ethnic groups.
Right. And we think of culture as distinguishing these groups one from the other, even though those cultural differences are quite minimal, except if those groups have immigrant segments like Filipinos or Koreans or to some extent Chinese. No? Mm-hmm. You know, the cultural differences are somewhat minimal. High rate of intermarriage. How could people intermarry at such a high rate here if their differences were so significant?
Well, do you think the continent has something to learn from us in terms of our perspective that might be helpful here?
In local contexts, people will develop an awareness, a knowledge, an experience of dealing with different ethnic groups such that they become more aware of those differences rather than relying on racial categories. So a place like Cupertino, you know, with a majority Asian American population, I'm sure many whites know the difference between Japanese Americans, Chinese Americans, Filipino Americans, and Asian Indians who are otherwise racialized as Asian. In Southern California, people may be aware of the differences between Mexicans and Guatemalans and Hondurans because of the large numbers of those populations. Whereas Hawaii, people might just think of them as Mexican American. No? But how do you get people to develop that kind of familiarity, this willingness to become aware of these cultural differences?
Do you think Hawaii has a message about living together, about ethnic groups living together?
Oh, God. You know, that's...
And you know, people keep asking.
That is true. This issue comes up all the time. The idea of Hawaii as a multicultural paradise where everybody gets along. Hawaii as a model for the rest of the country. So this started with Fuchs's book, Hawaii Pono. The last paragraph, huh? Hawaii has this lesson to teach the country, if not the world, about how people from different races can get along with each other in equality and democracy. Mm-hmm. So that has been a very dominant theme about Hawaii in the past 60 years. It gets repeated constantly over the years.
Sunset Magazine.
But even by academics, that's the problem. Like Ron Takaki, you know, the nation's expert in multiculturalism, look to Hawaii for answers on race, right? Even though people don't talk about race in Hawaii.
You don't sound like you buy it.
Of course not. You want to learn how to treat Native Hawaiians from coming to Hawaii?
Manoa Professor Emeritus Jonathan Okamura is an expert on race and ethnicity. His publications include a recent study on ethnic inequality in public education in Hawaii.